FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, if you take the chorus stop. Transformers! Defenders of
truth. Robots who fight in disguise. Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 261, recorded September 2nd, 2017. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And Rick Alvarez.
Hello.
Along with a Captain America in the background.
Here with Cap, hanging out in my makeshift office until the basement's done.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield.
You know, ever since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started, I just keep thinking of Captain America taking Coulson and just throwing him at the enemy because he's throwing his mighty shield. You know,
Coulson has a shield now, too, on the show.
Yeah.
He's got a robot arm.
Yeah. It's
he's a visionary.
No. This is a visionary. That's a visionary. That's the visionary.
I bet you were so happy when you got that.
Well, I was until a random look. It's missing an entire paint application on the shin armor.
Oh.
So the one set that I find that someone is piecing out on eBay that they don't want $40 for a single figure, it is missing an entire paint application on the front thigh armor. So, yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, I still got my Leoric, so I'm happy.
He has a representation years later. Well, we are here to talk about Transformers tonight. In this episode, well, here in a few moments, we're going to be talking about Transformers Animated. It was suggested by a listener here a while back, about a week or so ago, actually, that they wanted to hear us talk about Transformers Animated. Well, tonight, we're going to do that. We're going to talk about what made Transformers Animated special. Basically, what made people here now, like we were talking in our pre-show, it's been almost a decade since this series aired. It's hard to believe, but it's true. So, you know, what makes people nearly a decade later talk about this great show? We're going to be talking about Transformers Animated. So if you have any comments or questions, feel free to type them in the live chat if you're watching live. And if you are watching us later on our YouTube channel, you can comment in the comment section or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Quite an active group on there. And this current podcast should be pinned to the top of the Facebook page. So if you're going there and you are looking for it and it's within the week after this broadcast, it'll be at the top of the thing there. Also, join us on Twitter at TFYLP. Always happy to get messages and see tweets involving TFYLP on there. at twitter.com/TFYLP. And also check out our sponsors, CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com, where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping. Also, MegaToyFan.com. You can maximize your collection while minimizing your costs at MegaToyFan. You can find MegaToyFan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round, such as TFCon. And the best place to find him right now is on Facebook. So if you're looking for MegaToyFan, just search out MegaToyFan on Facebook. And that is probably the easiest way to get a hold of him. Send him a message and say you heard him, heard about him on TFYLP. But RippedApparel.com, you can go to RippedApparel.com and find great T-shirts on there. A lot of them have Transformer references on them. And even if you don't get a Transformer reference T-shirt, I mean, if it could be a Captain America T-shirt, or a Visionaries T-shirt, I don't know if there's one on there, but if there is, you can. At checkout, go down there in the promo code in the little type-in box there and type in TFYLP Pod, all in capital letters, and it will give you 10% off on your order at RippedApparel.com. And also, if you love what we do here on TFYLP, down there at the bottom of the screen, you can see a link. It's at Patreon.com/TFYLP. Help us pay the bills each month. Our server bills, upgrading our equipment, all kinds of stuff, software, always needing stuff. So, because this is a hard job to do. It looks easy, but it's not. So, you guys have any comments about anything in the last week or so? There's a lot of big stuff in the news lately.
There is a lot of stuff in the news. The first thing that comes to mind is obviously Jon Snow. What a big reveal. What a great season finale.
Oh, come
finale.
On. Don't spoil it. I have not seen past season 4 yet.
Oh, man. You're like living in the past.
I know. I haven't seen any, so.
Don, there's lots of killing and lots of sex in it.
Oh, just. No.
And there's dragons.
And for us Southerners, there's a whole lot of incest in it, too.
Hey. Don't want me.
So let's, speaking of the South, let's just say, there was a natural disaster. Hurricane Harvey struck Texas and Louisiana.
Yes.
All those people are in our minds, and we hope to anybody who's out there give us a shout. Let us know that you're okay. And
absolutely.
We hope for the very best for all of you.
Absolutely. I know several of our listeners actually live down in that area. And also a former regular on this show, I Am Unicron. I know he still lives down in that area. And I actually spoke to him last week. He has been – the reason he went away from the show is that his company actually got bought out, and he's been – working like 90-hour work weeks for like the last couple years, and it's really taken a toll on him. But he still collects, and he still listens. So a big shout out to I Am Unicron. We miss you, man, and we hope you're safe. You and your family down there. A lot of people down in the South Texas area. I know we got a lot of rain off of Harvey here yesterday. At work all day yesterday and all night last night, it was absolutely a downpour almost all the time. Really cold rain, too, as it came in. So I don't know where the cold air came from. I guess it's cold air from the north coming down mixing in. I'm not a meteorologist. I don't know. So, but it was really cold. Colder than usual. It has been in the 80s here lately, and then last night it was like low to mid 60s. So drastic change. Also, Transformers news. The HasCon is actually approaching, and I say that with a bit of a laugh. And I've said this many, many, many times. You know, I don't want it to fail, but at the same time, it's being done so poorly The execution has been absolutely abysmal. The you know we spoke about it here several times on the show. The cost, the dealer tables, the guests, the draw is just to me is not there as a Transformers fan.
So think about you know I think about having worked on the inside, having worked at the club, and having worked at Hasbro, and been on both. On all three sides of the convention, because I've also been to the convention pre and post my official work. So I kept thinking about we need to cut costs. We can't keep investing money in this. It led to a lot of things changing in the last 2-3 years for FunPub. And now I see this, HasCon. And they're treating it like it's some kind of San Diego Comic-Con. And I keep hearing we got to cut money. But you have all these guests coming out. I guarantee you Marky Mark
is – yeah.
I guarantee you he's not doing it for free. We had the guy who played Heavy Duty come out to one of the Joe-Cons, Adewale. And super cool guy. It was great having him there. But just for the 2 days, what it cost to get him – and he's not like even a tier C actor. No offense to him. But Marky Mark is tier A when it comes to box office draw and public awareness. So I just can't imagine what it is, what that costs to just get him there for the weekend. In addition to, you know, little J-Lo, whatever her name is. I'm not aware of any dealer that has actually signed up for this convention.
Well, I mean, who would want to? I mean, we spoke about this before. Brett and Orson, I know I've talked to them both about it. It's like if you get past the cost of the dealer tables, think about what you're selling. The only thing that you're really going to be selling, at least they would be official Transformers. And you would be in direct competition with the people that actually make them, that are selling them too at the same con. You know, how can you bring
vintage stuff, right?
Yeah.
You can say, all right, well, I'm going to bring vintage stuff, which obviously they're not going to sell there. However, you think about, all right, who is going to HasCon now, right? It's not going to be the collectors who are going to spend high-end dollars on vintage stuff. It's going to be a lot of employee families. It's going to be a lot of local people, and a lot of news people who are going to cover it for their website or publication. So I don't think, even if, let's say, two or three dealers went in on it together and spent whatever the – I think it was $6,000 for a booth, which is, I believe, more than San Diego. It's still – there's no way to recoup that after travel, after hotel, after meals. There's just no way to recoup that type of money unless someone like, you know, one of the handful of collectors who spend big money on things comes in and makes your day because you happen to have the one thing that they need.
Well, it's disappointing in the fact that, and I've mentioned this on Twitter, the BotCon crowd. The BotCon crowd, I understand, is not their target audience. We all know that. We all known that for years. We understand that. But there was a proven record of people willing to spend the money that are a certain level of fan of the product. That is a known quantity. And with this being their first show, you want to have a strong turnout for this show for it to be successful, because you don't want a weak show, because not every convention is going to be BotCon. That just keeps getting bigger and bigger. There's going to be some that there's been one convention and that's it for whatever reason. But they made no effort to address the people that has been supporting this from the collector side. And again, I know we're not the target audience. I understand that. People will say, well, Don, you know, this is for kids. I know. But when you have that many people each year flying, paying money for box sets, to come to a convention, you at least want to do something to get their attention that, hey, we're not BotCon. We know that. But
giving you free advertising.
Yeah. This is stuff that you may be interested in because you're this kind of collector. This is stuff we're doing at this level. And again, I like a lot of Hasbro properties, but they've done nothing to entice me to want to spend BotCon money.
Well, I think their whole outlook on the whole deal is actually misguided, I guess is the best way I can put it. They added Mark Wahlberg. They added him kind of late to the game. He had that video on Facebook here, what was it, maybe a week, 2 weeks ago. To me, it just screams last-ditch effort. Hey, let's bring in this mega star, like Rick said, a tier A star, to try to draw people.
That's telling me
that Don, ticket sales are abysmal.
That's not necessarily true. A lot of times, and this is from experience on the inside, we'd have something lined up, and the marketers would say, no, you can't advertise that till the last week before the show so that people get excited about it. But see, and this would be the argument that we would always have with them, whether it was, you know, guys on the creative side or whether it was Fun Pub, Brian having this conversation with them, is that when you announce something big the week before, it doesn't do anything. It's not going to increase your attendance because everyone's already paid for their flights. They've already booked their hotels, and no one's going to say last minute, oh, well, I guess I should drop $1,000 here last minute and book my flight, take my vacation time from work, find someone to cover for me, and go to this show because of this last-minute announcement that they've made.
When you're doing conventions, the best thing to do is drop your big news first. I think that's the most wise thing to do.
What HasCon feels like to me, and I'm going to draw on this parallel because it makes the most sense to me. This is not an affront to anyone that likes the DC Cinematic Universe.
Oh, God.
But
I know where this is going.
But it feels like Hasbro is trying to create BotCon at its height, which is DC trying to make this universe and then fragment it out to all the supporting characters. They're trying to recreate BotCon, or at least that super convention level. Because
they think they can recreate it.
But they're not. They're
because
not.
Because they don't know what it is that made it special.
Exactly. You know, they're not. They're basically trying to create their own San Diego in Rhode Island, with bare minimal information up until only about several months before the show even is going to be held. Pricing that makes absolutely no sense for a first-time convention when all of your variables are unknown. It's even masking agrees.
Let's talk about pricing.
Wait a minute, Rick. Carrie, Transformers new fan, she just commented that they also made a Groupon recently available that gave a huge discount. Some people have already paid full price, and people are commenting on Facebook that they emailed Hasbro asking for the difference back, and they were told that sales were final. I would be like,
give some background on what we're talking about. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe somewhere I read that for like $600, you get X, Y, and Z. That was like the super ultimate package. Does that sound right to you guys?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was $600. You get your gift bag.
I think
bag.
It was closer to $700, but yeah.
Okay, so you get your gift bag, which you don't know what's inside of it. You get access to VIPs that you didn't know who they were and could potentially be people you could care less about. That gift bag could have anything in it, not necessarily, you know, Transformers. It could be all retail stuff. It could be something special. You don't know, right? So that's, you know, over $600. And then they put up a Groupon
where you can get that for half off. Actually, I believe you can get it for $250, and they also gave you a $100 gift card to the Hasbro Toy Shop. So think about if you're one of those people that spent $600 on blind faith, and then a few weeks later you see that you could have gotten even more for your money at $250, how is that going to put you in the frame of reference, in the frame of mind to enjoy that show when you're there?
Since I would have already spent the money, I would go, but I would let it be known that I was pissed. And unless they did something about it, I would never be back.
Yeah, and here's the thing. That is something worthy of what you would hear, like, Nintendo doing. The kind of brain dead, don't make no sense kind of thing.
This is oat fuck level stupidity. And if you don't know what OTFCC is, God bless you.
That was actually first con.
Thanks for being a part of the brand post movies.
Yes. So, you know, I am hoping, I'm like Rick. I want HasCon succeed. And look at the exclusive they're doing. I'm finally getting a Headmaster RC.
But it's going to be retail.
I know, but I'm saying, is it exactly it's what I want?
Not really exclusive.
Wait, I'm sorry. You said it's going to be retail?
Yeah.
Well, in some fashion.
They plan on releasing it retail later. It's the only thing at HasCon is RC is going to be early release in convention exclusive packaging. So basically, the only thing special about her will be her damn package.
Well, and maybe the Ultra Magnus Titan Master.
Right.
Maybe, but. Is it the RC I've always wanted? No. No RC, short of a Masterpiece RC, would probably hit my mental image of what I want. But I'm happy to get it. I'm more than happy to.
She is a Headmaster.
Yeah, it's Don, a Headmaster. But
those figures are going to be available online. I have no worries about those selling out at the show.
I know. And I'm not worried because, you know, Brian is going, and I've got some friends that are willing to help me out. You know, I'm not going to buy all of them. I just want to buy a couple for me and one for Miss Blue. But other than that, there is nothing at that convention they have talked about that makes.
She's going to be there, so I guarantee you they give her one.
Right, but I want HasCon to succeed, but I don't see how with them being this stupid about it.
Well, the Groupon actually. Was a huge slap in the face. If everything prior to that was not already, this right here is. I don't know. I mean, if it you know, like I said earlier, the late announcement of the guests screamed, desperation for registrants, for pre-registrants, the Groupons, if anything, because if they're discounting prices that much. And not willing to refund the difference to people that have already paid. I mean, that tells me right there that, hey, we're worried this is going to fail big time. And they are pumping everything last minute that they can into it to try to see that it doesn't fail.
And here's the thing, in addition to that. Now, again, someone out there in the TFLIP universe, please correct me if I'm wrong. Nobody's received any letter of confirmation in regard to their tickets.
How long away are we? It's like 2 weeks?
It's next weekend.
Next weekend. Right? Oh, wow.
Is it next weekend?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, it's next weekend.
Wow.
It's this Friday coming up.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's something else. They knew... Well, when did we find... Rick, when did we find out that the Collectors Club... That last year's BotCon would be the last BotCon. When was it officially? There was speculation, but when did we know for sure?
Like a month or two before.
Okay, let's say April or May. Okay, Hasbro internally probably knew. Let's be generous and say since January of 2016.
You're wrong. I just Hasbro has been trying to do this since 2012.
Right. Well, that's why I'm being generous. I'm saying they've at least known that BotCon was going to be the final BotCon, and that probably they would be replacing it, again, being generous, since January of 2016. They have had almost 18 months plus to get the thing drafted, get a plan of action, get the ducks in a row, and then not only that, they've had all these years of doing New York Toy Fair, of doing San Diego. So they know how conventions tend to work. They've seen what makes a convention successful versus not successful. They don't have all the experience, but they've got more than a startup would going into this. And all that time, all the knowledge they have, all the resources for market research, and this is what we've got.
Don,
this is like the Easy Bake Oven of conventions. Don, and you're still screwing it up.
You're assuming that all the people that have been to the conventions and helped set up San Diego and have been to BotCon, you assume they still work there and are working on this.
Well, I'm sure there's enough people internally at Hasbro that have dealt with a convention circuit to at least have some kind of this isn't quite working right. We shouldn't do this or something. It may not be a ton of people, but this is a multi-billion-dollar company with market research out the wazoo. They've got years of BotCon to see what worked and what didn't. You have people that attend Toy Fair this very year. They could ask them about just anything to help flesh out the universe they're stepping into.
You know, the only market research I ever saw when I worked there was the toys are too complicated to transform. Parents are complaining. Because the kids can't do it, and then the parents can't do it either.
Well, maybe I was a business major in college, and a lot of my stuff is outdated. A lot of philosophies, all that kind of stuff, has probably been debunked or changed or whatever the case may be. But free feedback is still something that happens. With this internet age, if they can't go online and say, this is what people are saying about this toy or this brand, or they're saying this about this toy or this brand.
Dude, nobody does that. Nobody See, here's this thing about the fans.
Well, I don't mean fans. I'm just saying go to these parent websites where they're like, hey, you know.
They don't do that, Don.
Don, here's the thing about fans.
They don't.
Fans think that there's somebody there who reads the boards. Nobody there fucking reads the boards, Don.
It's free.
No one. No, it's free, but lots of shit's free.
Yeah.
TF Wiki is free, but nobody there looks at the shit. All right? That's so part of the reason why I got hired there.
Yeah.
All right?
It just seems to me as they have all this information they could use to craft a better foundation for what they want to do for this
What would be logical and what is actually done is two different things under the Hasbro umbrella.
But again,
I mean, just look at HasCon as an example, and that's all you need to know. I mean, they're not doing the research. If somebody had sat down and did the research of how to throw on a successful convention, how to promote it, what to do and when, and how to price your convention, you know, they could have went and, as far as market research, just got on the phone and talked to the organizers. If they want something like San Diego Comic-Con, call the organizers of San Diego Comic-Con. Hasbro has a booth at San Diego Comic-Con every freaking year. I'm sure they have somebody that has contacts with somebody that runs San Diego Comic-Con. So call them up and say, hey, we're doing our show we're wanting to do a show that is just our brands, and we want to know what your two cents are. You know, can you give us any pointers what to do and what to avoid? It would have been as simple as that, but they obviously did not do that. And like Rick said, they don't even do that with their own damn brands.
Yeah,
and it's impossible.
Here's how I feel about this. I live an hour away, and I'm not going. But you know why, Don? And you might be the only person in out of maybe 10 people that I can think of in the entire world that I talk to on a regular basis who might actually understand what I'm about to say to you. You remember what it was like going into OTFCC 2004, the buildup before that show, whether you went to the show or not?
Yeah. Yes, I remember
the buildup before that show.
Yes.
That's how I feel right now, Don. And with that, let's segue to
one recommendation, Rick. Rent a tank and put on an army hat. Roll up to the back door of the Rhode Island Convention Center and get on your bullhorn and say, "Let me in." Pull a total DX move on them.
Didn't they buy tickets too, but they wouldn't let them in?
There was several of the guys that was actually standing inside the door. They could hear them, but they wanted to let them in, but the execs didn't. For those of you who aren't in the know, and this is a wrestling reference that Rick and I are actually talking about, but
I'm lost.
Yeah, well, back during the Monday Night Wars between the old
WCW. Oh, you didn't know?
Yes,
you better call somebody.
Yeah, between the old WCW and the WWF at the time, some of the WWF wrestlers, D-Generation X, went to a WCW show and showed up at their front door, but essentially riding a tank, demanding to be let in, and this was on live television.
It wasn't a tank as much as it was a Jeep.
Yeah, it was a Jeep with a Mauser on it or something. But yeah, it was still funny.
It was still one of the greatest moments in wrestling.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it, because the only wrestling I've ever watched is the few minutes that came on before Elvira. And so that's my extent of my wrestling, because I was watching Elvira instead.
No, you were watching her titties, Don.
But Don, do you understand, like?
Yes, I mean,
get like what I'm trying to say about and this convention.
Yeah, but believe it or not, I understand. I understand completely what you're saying, and I know you know me what I'm saying. It just boils down to if they're going to stop doing BotCon, something that with all of its flaws intact was still something I look forward to doing, that I wanted to do. I wanted to do that. For all the flaws, all the headaches, all the 750 processing fees and all that kind of crap, I still wanted to do it.
And here's
they're going to take away something that I wanted to do, could have made it better, should have made it better, or at the very least desirable, and have gave me nothing to want to go to their show that's replacing, in a sense, my show.
And they've also made you talk shit about their brand and about them.
No, well, which is
not, because we're talking shit right now.
Well, I'm talking about as a business person, as someone that wheels and deals, someone that wields Dononomics to a certain degree. Okay, I'm talking about not using your resources, wasting money, wasting time, and you're making a substandard product. That, and you're doing this to replace a product that, for its faults, was better than what we're getting now.
So, you know,
and
here's
that,
another
to me, that's just dumb.
Here's another thing. You know, we kept talking about this. This is something I've talked to Brian Savage about many, many times. And it was never really seriously, but, you know, we've talked about this a couple times in that. We always said, well, what if? What if we one day do a mega show with G.I. Joe and Transformers? What if? Big, huge dealer room. What if we did that? And his reasoning was, how do you feel about it, Rick? And I said, I'd love it. He's like, Rick, what do you collect most? Transformers. Okay. Dave Lean, how do you feel about it? I hate it. Why? What do you collect most? G.I. Joe. Is there any crossover, Dave, between you collecting G.I. Joe and Transformers? None. Rick, is there any crossover between you collecting Transformers and G.I. Joe? Yes, to some degree. You look at the amount of people that go to BotCon. and you look at the amount of people that go to JoeCon, and the Joe collectors would just get lost in a sea of robots. And then you have the vintage 12-inch collectors who get lost amongst the 3 3/4-inch collectors who would just not even be a percentile in the equation. And now you're trying to get all those people in a room with Pony and Nerf and Magic and, you know, other great brands such as Creo. And it's just not going to work, because it's not going to, rather than making one group of people happy by having a BotCon or a JoeCon or a PonyCon or BroCon, whatever you call it, you're going to make everyone less satisfied by trying to please them all together at the same time.
I mean, because how many super fans are you going to have that collect? Granted, you know, there's people that might collect ponies. They might collect Transformers. They might play Magic. They might do Nerf.
The vast majority of people that I've seen saying that they're actually going to go are going to go for the gathering stuff.
I've heard the same thing. Even my Transformer buddy, Chuck, who's a listener part-time, he's told me, yeah, I'm not really going for anything other than the Magic. And the Magic cards are based off their other brands, which I find interesting. Like, and I wonder, can you actually play with those cards?
Well, from what I understand, you can't use them in an actual normal game.
So basically, Grimlock is Exodia. So that's, you know,
you have to play a game with special rules, if I understand it correctly, in order to use those cards. But anyway, okay. You know, I think we've kind of beat the HasCon thing to death. But, you know, given light of some of the recent events, you know, the Groupon things, the Mark Wahlberg announcement, I thought it was important that we actually give, you know, a little more credence to it. You know, this whole debacle surrounding HasCon, you know, it sounds like, you know, if you listen to our show and you listen to a lot of people on Facebook, mostly, you know, we want HasCon to fail. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. You know, they represent a brand that we love and we have devoted much of our lives to. You know, why would we want that to fail? We want it to succeed. But whenever we're sitting here screaming to the top of our lungs, you're doing it wrong, and you don't give a damn about what we're saying, you don't listen to us, you don't listen to the people that you're trying to serve, you're setting yourself up to fail. And if you're a business, if you're a business wanting to succeed and you ignore the people that you're trying that you want to buy your product, they're not going to buy into it if you ignore them. It's the same thing as if you go into a restaurant and they serve, you know, only the super wealthy, and you grow in, you might have millions of dollars in your bank, but you go in wearing a t-shirt and jeans, and they treat you like a piece of crap. You know, even though you can pay, you feel like you've been treated like a piece of crap. You're not gonna go back to their establishment again. You know, you're not going to give them your money. You've lost that customer. I really fear that with what's going on, I'm interested to see how next weekend goes. You know, we've made it well apparent, and it's been recorded on our podcast, you know, what we think will happen. I would very much love to be proven wrong. I'm going to be going on. I'm going out on a limb here, and I would love to be proven wrong. I'd like to see that HasCon had 10,000 people show up, and that it was a booming success. But all indications are that it is going to be an abysmal failure. You know, I don't know the ticket numbers and everything. I'm just looking at the empirical evidence that we are presented with online and from official sources.
Here's the thing, too. You say failure, but what is considered a failure to them, right? If they get 2,000 people to go, are they happy with that?
Yeah, but
they say, well, it was a success. We don't know what they're comparing it to. If they're comparing it to BotCon, where they say, "Hey, we're going to get at least 10,000 people here," we don't know if they're going to if they're comparing it to Comic-Con, or they're saying, "You know what? It's not San Diego Comic-Con, but we're definitely going to have 30,000 people here." We don't know what their expectations are. So,
well, my thinking is that if Hasbro is a business, they're looking at it from a monetary standpoint. If they don't get the returns that they have sunk into it monetarily, let's say it cost them $5 million in marketing, in licensing, as far as getting the licensing for the building, the usage, the paying for the building, paying for the hotel, all that stuff, all the money that they have put into it. If they don't at least break even, if they are in the red at the end of this convention, it is a failure from a business standpoint.
Because I don't think, no matter how much exposure this gives you,
because, well, let's be honest,
losing money, money is not worth the exposure, whatever you'll get in the trades.
Let's be honest. I mean, if you're throwing a convention, yeah, you want it to be fun, but if you're the person throwing the convention, the end means is how much money am I going to make. If I'm not going to make any money from it, then I'm not going to do it again. I don't care how much fun I had. I don't want to keep losing money. It makes no sense.
It goes deeper than that. For me, it's you have this group of people who you think you're catering to. And you're trying to branch out. You're trying to get families in there as well.
Family.
This does seem like a very family event if you have the money. But what you've also done is alienated so many people who are vocal. And they're now talking shit. We're talking shit right now. You have that out there in the world. And it's the internet. It never goes away. So that's
the damage is already done.
You look beyond money. Yeah, the damage is already done, because at this point, you can have any expectation or anything could happen. And there's going to be those people who are probably going to say, I knew this was garbage. This whole thing's garbage. Even if they have a wonderful show and lots of people show up and they have huge surprises there, you're still going to have haters because it's built up in their heads from having seen it and discussed it for so long now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't blame the people, for example, us. Like you said, we're sitting here talking shit about the show. But the thing is, you can't blame us, because if you didn't give us a reason to talk shit about it, then we wouldn't be talking shit about it.
That's my point. And that's my point.
So, I think that's a good time to move on and move to our main topic of discussion, Transformers Animated. Rick, you know a little bit about Transformers Animated. Yes?
Yeah, sure. But let's just quickly recap everything that's happened so far. So, Ned Stark, right? All right, so
Transformers Dragons.
Animated. The year was 2008, and we had just come off a huge, maybe surprising success of the first Transformers movie the year prior. And now you had a huge departure. You had the movie figures, which are very aggressive looking in their packaging and in their aesthetic, and advanced in their transformation for the most part. And then you have this very kid-oriented, young-looking.
It was very kiddie.
Rescue Bot precursor, Transformers Animated. Now, the toys and the show were amazing. And I am a huge fan of Animated. But when you see what was happening between the movie toys, which are aggressive, adult-looking, versus the animated toys, which were young looking and simpler, and even the artwork was more accessible and friendly. You can kind of see the writing on the wall and saying, well, boys in that age range who are buying toys, which one are they going to want? Because boys and girls too always want to play with what's older than they are. That was another piece of market research I saw while I was there, Don. So kind of from the start, animated had an uphill battle to climb. And that's a shame because animated, the development for that started prior to the live action film. So animated was already in the works before the live action.
You worked on animated, didn't you?
I was my first meeting at Hasbro. This was before I got hired full time. We had our first meeting about creating the Covenant or the Book of Revelation. And they had the test footage for the first episode of season 3. So that's when I came on board. And they showed us like 20 minutes of season 3 of the first episode with Hotshot and Red Alert and all those guys. And it just looked amazing. And I think at that point, they already knew that it was going to be very iffy if there was a season 4.
That's one thing I don't recall. I want to back up a little bit. I want to go out and say, before I say anything, I do love Transformers Animated. I don't currently own any of the toys. I do have, I think, the first 2 seasons on DVD. But the reason I don't have any toys, and I did have pretty much the first, I want to say the first season or two of the toys. But I got to the point where in my display, they just, like you said, they had that very kiddie, preschoolish aesthetic. That being said, they were absolutely amazing toys because they represented the cartoon in the most accurate way that we had ever seen up to that point. And they were amazing. They looked amazing. If you looked at them, if you sat and looked at an animated toy and didn't look at any other Transformer, you would say this thing is amazing. And then you put it next to another Transformer, and it's like, wow, this thing looks preschool. And it just, they stuck out so. I mean, I even went so far as putting them on another shelf in another part of the collection room, and it just, every time I looked over there, I'm like, they just don't fit. They don't fit, but I still loved them. It was that inner war that was going on within me, and I just don't think I don't think I was ready as a collector for something like that.
The war within.
It was the war within myself as a collector. I loved them. I wanted them. I wanted to keep them, but they just didn't fit with what I had. But I love the show.
You know why I loved him so much? Was because it, story-wise, it was almost a perfect reinvention of G1.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was G1 for the modern age. It was a perfect reboot.
You know,
and
one of my
teamwork between Derek Wyatt, who was the art director on the show, and Eric Siebenhaler, who was the head designer of the toys at Hasbro, that partnership was so amazing. That's how you got the toys and the show to coordinate how they transformed. They had that open communication. And then from that show, we went right into Prime, which is why, you hear me complain a lot about the production of Prime, because behind the scenes, it was completely different than what animated was. So I came in on the tail end of animated. We still had a bunch of animated toys left to put out when I was there. And I think a lot of them ended up as TRU exclusives. The RC.
I love that RC. Yeah.
The Cybertron, Ratchet, and an Ironhide, and a few other ones. And I'm sure a lot of people know that there were some other toys being developed at the time. There was the Season 4 Megatron, which had the – because he was in jail in Season 4. Well, you know what? Should I just give a brief update on what Season 4 was supposed to be?
Yeah.
So Season 4, there were never any actual scripts, but there was a breakdown of the story, which I got to read when I was there. So Season 4 was Megatron was in jail on Cybertron, and Sentinel Prime was very jealous of Optimus having stepped up to be that pseudo-leader in the wake of Ultra Magnus being damaged. So Sentinel Prime actually releases Megatron from jail because Megatron tells him, hey, I'm going to help you get back at Optimus. And even though Sentinel's not a villain, he just does something very stupid and he lets him out, which is why the toy had that Beast Machines Megatron head on it with the kind of like the cell block, like mm-hmm. the cell doors on his mouth, because he was in jail. So Megatron launches Kaon off of Cybertron and lands it in Lake Michigan. And that was going to be the city, the Decepticon city, right there on Earth. The Season 4 team was going to be the Optimus Bumblebee. It was going to be the Power Master looking Optimus Prime. It was going to be Bumblebee. It was the Ratchet, but he was green, based, I think, off the Target exclusive. Jazz was going to join the team, and Ironhide was going to join the team. And Ironhide was a red truck, but he had the arm cannons from the movie. I'm trying to remember what else. It's been a while for me.
It's been almost a decade.
It's been a while for me. So that's kind of like what I remember off the top of my head. That was exciting. Optimus was going to go full Power Master on it. Oh, Devastator was going to make an appearance. I think there was going to be one more Constructicon introduced, and then we would find out that they needed another guy to form Devastator, so they would get Bulkhead to be the pants. So Bulkhead was going to be forced against his will to join with the Constructicons to become Devastator, which is why we never had Constructicon toys out, because in Hasbro's head, we're waiting until we're going to do the Combiner. So that was always something Eric Siebenhaler had known, which is why we never got the Constructicon toys. Another toy was Leader Class Omega Supreme, which turned into the ship.
Which and then fans are still clamoring for.
As am I. And that was going to have a remold into the Blinky. What's his name?
Lugnut. The Lugnut.
Lugnut. He was going to have a remold into Lugnut.
Blinky.
Because Lugnut takes over the Ultra Magnet or the Omega Supreme bodies.
Yeah.
So he was going to have a remold into that.
And then I'm also guessing something would have happened with Sari dealing with her origins and why she was a protoform on Earth. And I'm guessing that would have also been part of Season 4 as well.
Yeah, but I don't remember reading anything about that. I don't remember reading anything about that. There was the three animated toys that came out in Japan that we never got over here. Flying Optimus, the Bumblebee with scuba gear, and the Blackout.
The Blackout, I've seen it, is awesome.
Yeah, which Hasbro got sued by Paramount because they said it was too close to their Blackout and we weren't paying royalties on it.
What?
They either got sued or they got threatened with a lawsuit. I think they got sued. But you can't quote me on that. There was a legal issue with it. There was definitely – you should ask Archer, old man Archer. He'll tell you. He'll know more about it than I will. I didn't find out about that till later.
Well, we don't want to make him angry. Then he'd be an angry
archer. He'd be an angry archer.
He might shoot an arrow in it. That was whenever that character appeared on the show. I think that was the first belly laugh I had had since I have watched Transformers in a very, very long time. Since I was a kid, probably.
How great was Swindle on that show? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Swindle was like Deadpool on that show. He was almost self-conscious with all the references to everything else he was making.
Breaking that fourth wall.
Yeah.
My favorite moment on Transformers Animated. I can't remember what season. It might have been in the first season. Whenever Optimus Prime asked Sari something along the lines of, how do humans reproduce? And Sari basically beckoned him down and whispered something in his ear, and he had this look on his face like, what? Oh, you know, and just that whole concept that a child explained the concept of sex to an alien robot. I rewound it and watched it several times because it just struck me so funny.
And that development, that characterization that they all had, we hadn't seen something like that since Beast Wars.
No.
Where the characters, you actually cared about them. And they had personalities that you can identify with. And I think it speaks volumes to how amazing the human villains on that show were that, you know what? You could have probably done a whole season without a Decepticon villain and just had human villains.
And another thing is that Sari was a step beyond what we had gotten before. She was the audience identification character. But there was just as much thought put into her interacting with the characters and not just the token kid.
Well, if you think about all the other Transformer, well, a lot of the other Transformer animations prior, you look at the Unicron trilogy and everything. Almost all of them featured kids that tended to be very annoying. The human characters were almost intrusive to the Transformers storyline. But then you get to Transformers Animated, and it's like, I couldn't imagine this show without the human characters. You know, Fanzone and Sumdac, and then Sari, which she eventually turned out to be a robot herself, but... You know, those human characters were relatable. They were funny. They added something to the show. Every time they come on the screen, you didn't just sit there and, you know, even Headmaster. Yeah, I even dug him, you know.
Well, it's like
Noob.
It's like Porter. I really did not. It's like this is a fictional character, but I really hate this guy. You know, it's like, it's an animated character. First time we've seen him, it's like, I don't like him. And that's how good the character was. It made me actually hate a fictional character like that.
Let's talk about the human character. Now, you know, being a parent of girls, my girls are well aware of what Transformers and He-Man and G.I. Joe are. And I don't have any sons that I know of.
That you know of.
So, yeah, my wife is still expecting, a knock at the door any day now.
Well, man, if you didn't do all that man whoring, then you know you wouldn't have that to worry about.
Well, you know, if a kid ever shows up at my house and they're 18, peace out, buddy. But let's talk about Sari. So my point is, Transformers typically skews boy, right? And this is a show that's catered to, again, typically boys who are going to buy boy products. And who's the main human? Who is the point of entry? Who is the audience in the show that represents – who is the character that represents the audience? It is a girl. It's a girl, and she's a minority. How amazing is that?
It parlayed into Miko in Transformers Prime as well. I think in large part.
But, you know, it's with animated. You're right, Duran. Animated is this little. To me, animated is like Robots in Disguise, the first one. It's its own little microcosm that is basically. It's on its own shelf because, again, scale wise, aesthetics wise, it doesn't fit except in and of itself. But, what you said. We have never – I don't think we've had toys like that that was so close to what we saw on television. And it was just amazing that basically these are the best representations of what we're seeing on screen. And you had a wide variety of characters. You know, it wasn't the same Optimus and Megatron over and over again with slightly different paint jobs. I mean, even Jazz got a figure, and Sentinel Prime, who I hated, he was like, you know, Mirror Mirror Tick or something. But again, the characters were great. The voice work was phenomenal. The animation, again, I think the one thing that hurt animated more than anything.
It had its own charm.
It had its own charm, but it was the overall aesthetic being unlike anything we had gotten before. People didn't know how to process it at the time. That's why all your boards was like, oh, this is the worst looking show ever. Or like, this is the best looking show ever. It was so different than anything we had gotten before.
You know, I'm a 30-year-old guy, and I would love to watch a show with that aesthetic. Yeah. That show, it was so special, that show. And, you know, I'm not kidding when I say I could have watched a whole season with just human villains and no Decepticons in it whatsoever. I said earlier it was a perfect reinvention of G1, a perfect reboot, right? I would still love to get so many characters across so many universes in animated style. Hotshot, Waspinator, Blur, Optimus. We got those characters are from different continuities, different shows, and everything was pulled together. Even stuff from the movie with the Allspark. Everything was pulled together and coalesced into a great, perfect melding, a great new way of introducing the characters, doing something new while honoring what came before. Yep. And Wasp was a great character. You know, you have this guy Wasp.
Yeah.
And we all saw it coming. We all saw it coming that he was going to be Waspinator. But what a great buildup to get to that point where he actually becomes Waspinator. That is a true character arc.
Yeah. And you also get an inversion of all the tropes where Ultra Magnus is actually the main leader of the Autobots. And Prime is basically a general kind of, as in not general as in common, but general as in the military rank.
The title Prime refers to like a field commander almost.
Right, exactly. So you had and it wasn't a disrespectful inversion. It was just something different, and we got that great Ultra Magnus figure. I have both versions, and I love those figures.
The voice actor for Magnus was great too.
Yeah,
doing an almost Robert Stack.
Almost Robert. Style. I mean,
who was it that did his voice again? Do you remember?
I'd have to look
it up. Not off the top of my head.
But if you didn't catch yourself, you would think it was Robert Stack. If you didn't
catch IMDb
it. And bringing in Judd Nelson to do Hot Rod.
And of course, we cannot forget getting Weird Al for Retgar.
Susan Blue as RC.
Yes.
I am Retgar, and I dare to be stupid.
I loved it when he was at BotCon, and he said, hey, you guys want to hear my Optimus impression? And he goes, in the Retgar voice, I'm Optimus.
So, I mean, the guest voice actors made sense. The storyline was inventive. You got invested. I think the one strong, other than the aesthetics, which, again, it's nothing wrong with the aesthetic. It's just you couldn't say, oh, this is in the XYZ universe because it doesn't fit. But I think now, Rick, you can maybe help me understand this. I think the one thing that hurt animated more than anything else is it being on Cartoon Network. I am sorry, but
it was
a horrible slot time, almost no promotion. You found out a couple of weeks before when it would start. I have been out of love with Cartoon Network for a very long time, even before the Toonami was taken away, before the endless repeats of four different shows. I have not enjoyed Cartoon Network for well over a decade. But I've always felt that Cartoon Network's mishandling, starting with a lot of shows, starting with animated, is when they really began screwing over. They screwed over Symbionic Titan, New Thundercats, and so many other shows, just with horrible time slots, mismanaged communication. Do you think that was an issue with animated at the end?
There was some behind-the-scenes stuff involving the Bro and Cartoon Network. I think Cartoon Network already knew that Hasbro wasn't going to give them any other shows in the U.S. And so I think they purposely moved Animated to like that Saturdays at, you know, 8:30 in the morning time slot. So I think that had a lot to do with it. Pretty sure I remember hearing that while I was there. Because the third season, I could never catch the third season of Animated on TV. I remember I had to go up to our video library, Cake Mix Studios, and having to borrow the DVDs so I can actually see the episodes.
Well, I remember they were shown in Canada months before. Again, I'm doing this from memory, so I may be wrong. But I remember, I remember them being shown in Canada months before we even got word they'd even be showing season three down here. And by the time season three started out down here, I was already halfway through watching legit on Canadian websites because we had no information when it was coming, nothing promotional, like coming in XYZ. So it's like you're ruining a great show. And where else were they going to go? Nick was not what it is now then. So I don't think Nick would have been a good choice for it. Their idea for the Hub was still a ways out from being even close to being a thing.
And the Hub is another had a lot to do with why there wasn't a season four too.
Yeah. So it just seems to me like if it's sort of like there wasn't any better choice, but that's not saying much about being on Cartoon Network other than this is the best we can do right now.
Is that the reason Animated died? Is because Hasbro wanted to move it to the Hub?
No, it was almost a perfect storm against Animated. As I said, they had an uphill battle because it came out alongside Movie Toys. So that was one issue. It came out alongside Movie Toys. So what is a kid going to choose generally, right?
The hardcore-looking toys.
Yeah. Right. They want to play with something more aggressive, older. So that was an issue. The time slot change was an issue. And the length of time between seasons versus toy release was an issue as well.
Oh, yeah. That was something I do remember. The show aired long before the toys hit.
I think it was almost a year before we got any toys. And the toys, Hasbro had decided to use Cincinnati as a test market.
That was where I got BotCon, my first ones.
So we can get some of the toys and have them at BotCon.
I got Bumblebee, Ultramag. I got Bumblebee, Optimus Prime, and I think Bulkhead.
I got Lockdown.
I got Lockdown as well.
My Lockdown broke Walmart in 2 seconds because I wanted to straighten out his hand.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a bunch of people who had the same feeling, and they all talked that they were going to go to the Hasbro booth at a certain time the next day with their broken Lockdowns to complain. And luckily that never happened. I also kind of, you know, gave Aaron the heads up and like, hey, you want to get lunch this time. But speaking of BotCon, there was the Animated BotCon set. That took forever to develop. We had all decided, the guys working at FunPub, I was already at Hasbro at that point, but I was working with FunPub to develop the Animated set. We had convinced Brian, we have to use these tools. We have to make an Animated set. And we all had very different ideas on who was going to be in the set. It wasn't until very late in the game that Brian said to me, what if we made him the Stunicons, like a team, you know, like one of those. And I don't know if somebody else gave him that idea or if he came up with that idea. Brian, you know, he's not the Transformers expert that we are, but, you know, he's come up with some great things. He came up with Shattered Glass kind of on a whim. And I think he came up with the Stunicon set, unless somebody else told him about it, and then he brought it to me. I don't know if that happened. But I had photoshopped, and I had enlisted Trent Troop and Greg Sepulak to photoshop some stuff, as well, so I can just feed these things to Brian. And one of my favorite things, which never got made, was we did this. It was the Voyager Megatron that had the Cybertronian mode. We did him up with a new head to become Sky Gary. Mm. And we thought, we're going to put him – he'll be like the center of the box set, and we'll kind of get some of those, you know, rarer, hard-to-find characters in an animated style. You know, so Sky Gary was a spaceship, so we're going to put Scare Gary on the Megatron body. I think we had talked about doing Blackout as Waspinator. Because that figure hadn't come out in America.
Whose idea was it to make? Was it a conscious idea to make Motormaster look like Lemmy from Motorhead in the face?
Oh, that was Derek J. Wyatt.
Because that was a stroke of genius. That was a stroke of genius.
Yeah, he designed all those heads.
The one thing I remember about the set, how everybody on the build up to the set was how everybody kept saying you have to use the Retgar mold for Motormaster. And then of course the Optimus mold made more sense because it's, you know, that kind of was that. But that's one thing that I remember about that year is how there was just this big, huge firestorm over who should be Motormaster, and those people that was firmly in the Retgar mold camp, and someone did a digibash on how it would look, and it looked not really good. And then there was people like, no, it's got to be this mold. And I'm thinking, it's animated. They don't have a whole lot to choose from, so be happy we're getting something at all.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people who said, see, I told you it was going to be the Optimus mold, you know, venting their frustration with it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember some of the other concepts we put together. Sky Gary was my favorite one because it was just so different. The more different you can get it to look from the original toy, to me, was better. I think we talked about doing Bulkhead into Strika, but then I think that was Pete's idea, but I said, no, that is not going to work because I think we had a Photoshop of that. I'm like, that is not – because she was on the show – so that is not something that's gonna work.
Because there was a prior version of her on the show.
Yeah, and there was already an expectation of her, even though it was an Earth mode. I still said it was not gonna work. I want to say there was a Topspin and a Twin Twist, but I can't for the life of me remember what the mold choices were for those.
I think I saw an image of this. Wasn't it? No, I take that back. No, that was Fall of Cybertron. Never mind. It actually come to fruition as the Ruination. Cybertron.
So I'm trying to think about who else was there.
Did you ever think about using anybody? Other molds that could combine to get Minasaur, or did you just feel that from the get go doing individual Stunicons would be better than trying to make a combiner from something and make other?
Yeah, we thought about it, but the tooling cost would have been astronomical.
Yeah,
and I know there was another third party company out there that was trying to make the pieces to it, and yeah. I would love if they did, and they showed the control art for it, but it never went into production. Yeah. To this day, I would still love that.
Yeah,
I'd still love to have that set,
but yeah, but you know that
whole reason I sold my set is because they didn't combine. I'm like, what's the point of the Sonicons if they don't combine? You know?
Yeah, I remember the reason we got Toxitron. I pushed for Toxitron, but Aaron Archer was adamant that we needed to have Optimus Prime, who for years, you know. People like Greg Lombardo, Michelle Fields are like, no, you can't have any of the tier A characters. And, you know, those people were not in the brand anymore. And Aaron's like, you got to have your tier A character in there somehow. You have to have an Optimus Prime. And he was adamant that it was Optimus Prime. So I came to the solution that, all right, what if we did this Optimus Prime toy as Toxitron, but it's secretly revealed in the bio and in the comic book, that it was Optimus Prime disguise all along. And he finally went with that. So that's how you got the Optimus, the Toxitron.
So Toxitron was actually a good Optimus, but he was just in disguise.
Yeah, he was just disguised. He was in disguise. He was a robot in disguise.
In disguise.
Yeah. He was a robot in disguise. In disguise. Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, now I'll be honest. That is not my favorite set. It's in my top five. It's in my top
five. The drag strip was my favorite one out of the whole thing. Yeah, I love that freaking drag strip.
Of course, all the jokes that went around that, of course. Yeah.
I thought the drag strip was the weakest one.
I liked it, and then the breakdown was probably my second favorite.
And breakdown. But, I mean, the paint and the work on Dead End out of that jazz mold to give him, you know, the mustache and the whole, you know, that was a brilliant use of that. I mean, every mold fit the character, especially with the work Lenny did on the colors and the face designs and the paint apps and all that.
That was all. Yeah, Lenny.
Lenny.
Yeah, you said Lenny. Right?
I'm sorry, Lenny. Yeah. Lenny. But I love the and again, this proved my point, which you just said about Toxitron. How important the fiction is to a bot concept, because I've always said that you can just have a bunch of standalone toys and no fiction, and as toys that they can be fine, but since this is their only real shot of having a universe to work within, the fiction needs to be as good as possible to make it all a cohesive whole. And I love the story that they were Decepticons pretending to be Autobots, pretending to be Decepticons, robots in disguise again. Mm-hmm. And then whenever I get into this discussion about is the fiction for BotCon important and for the sets, I do mention the Stunicon. It's like that shows you all these characters and how everything is layered upon layered, and why the fiction is so important. So that was an awesome job as far as the backstory there.
Now, what do you think was the single best thing that we got out of Animated?
Well, you know, third time I say it, it was such a great reboot of G1. And not just G1, but a perfect reboot of the entire franchise, melding lots of different things together, like Hotshot, Waspinator. Red Alert was great. They did a gender switch on Red Alert, but she had the weapon, the arm cannon from the Armada Red Alert, which to me was just genius.
Which we got to figure.
When you look at Prime, which was the show that followed, we were saying, all right, there's got to be some kind of really cool weapon we're going to use for Ultra Magnus. And I thought, we're going to give him the Forge of Solus Prime, because he had a hammer in Animated, so we're going to give him a hammer here. And from now on, I associate Ultra Magnus with a hammer, and I think it was perfect that Generations Voyager Ultra Magnus, his shoulder cannons come off to form the hammer. So that was something that I think stuck. Yeah. You have Blitzwing.
So Manny faces, basically.
Yeah. you have Manny Wing. And when we did the Voyager Generations one, I told Joe Kide, who was the head designer on that, you got to give him the tri-face. He's got to have the tri-face. And he's like, well, we can sculpt all three heads and then just release them. I'm like, you know that'll never get done. You know that'll never get released. They'll release one, maybe two. You'll never get all three heads, right? So you got to put the tri-face in there. And I even drew up a little schematic of how it would work. And they went, the engineers figured out something else. But like to me, it's like, that is a part of that character now.
Yeah.
And you got to have the tri-face. You got to have the tri-face.
And the terrible Arnold accent.
Yeah. And
Arnold accent. And I am Blitzwing.
There was an episode of Prime where Starscream starts cloning himself. And he makes a bunch of different Starscreams. And I was really trying to push that. You know, he's going to take this one. He's going to make it orange. He's going to make this one blue. He's going to make this one white. He's going to make this one, you know, purple and black. And I'm like, but those characters already said, you told me, you spent all this time trying to explain to me about this Worf Cybertron thing that we don't like. And now you're trying to say that he creates all those characters that are existing. No. He's just doing that. And there was this episode of Armada where Starscream gets Thundercracker colors and he wakes up and he says, I look like Thundercracker. I'm like, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to name them. He's just going to say, you know what? You're going to look like Thundercracker from now on. And you're going to look like Skywarp and you're going to look like Sunstorm. But it never came to be, unfortunately.
And we still don't know what the heck happened with Slipstream. It's like, what part of Starscream was Slipstream? That was just, you know.
I think it's perfect that we don't know where Slipstream
is. Exactly. It's still a little mystery that's out there.
No, you know, there's a lot of fan fiction as to what it is, but.
Yeah, let's not go there.
So, you know, kind of modify my question before, and I want to ask both of you guys this. What, in your opinion, here we are approaching 10 years past Transformers Animated, and Transformers Animated, whether or not you realize it or not, or people want to accept it or not, because there is a love-hate relationship with it, and let's be honest, what one thing do you think, in your opinion, did Transformers Animate or Transformers Animated impact and change within the franchise going forward that we still have today?
I'm going to say intuitive transformation, which is that transformation, which is a lot easier. It's more flowing.
It makes sense.
And you know, it took a while for them not just to develop that, but for them to just take that and move it onto Generations and onto Prime and onto movie toys. It was just Eric doing it, and you had other guys doing Generations and movie toys, but then eventually we kept getting all this feedback that transformation was just too tough, and Eric kind of pushed out this idea that, you know, you look at the animated figures and how you can almost tell where everything goes. That's how it's supposed to transform, as opposed to like that Revenge of the Fallen Optimus Prime, which I still need instructions on. When I transform it, it's like this long. Like somehow I can't get the feet to go back underneath. And it's been a couple years since I've tried messing around with that thing.
You get to the point where you're like, screw it. And you set it down, come back to it an hour or so later.
A half hour later, I'm like, no wonder kids don't like this. It's a great figure, but it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, but it's not fun.
Well, and then you get to a parent, and they don't get. Yeah, I don't know.
It goes back to what we've mentioned before, which is one of the things that made Generation 1 way back in the day such a fire-catching phenomenon that it was. The toys themselves were relatively simple. You could sit down and you could take five or six toys from each faction and have a little play war, and converting each figure from robot to vehicle and back again didn't take you 30 minutes per figure. You could sit there and let me grab it here real quick. You could take G1 Sea Spray and you got a robot and basically lay him down, flatten out his arms, shove that up, and then...
Well, he is a very GoBot-esque transformation.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, it was literally 5 seconds, and you've got him transformed. And much of the G1 line was like a minute or less for the transformation. And I think that was the magic about it. It's like you could have a play war, and it fed the imagination. Now, granted, modern toys are a little bit more difficult. Because you with articulation comes more of intricacy and detail and complications, and I think it's something that is it's a both a blessing and a curse, and I think Hasbro and Takara have yet to come to a happy medium where you get a great level of detail, a great level of articulation, but a relatively simple and quick transformation. Something that's satisfying and good to look at and quick. And that's
but for
very,
me, that's,
very
that's
hard
animated.
To do. Yeah, well, and it is to an extent. But I think that up until then, you were right. Toys were getting overly complicated. And we've had a few since, but not as many. And then third party, there's some that we'll never learn. I mean, Fans Project Diesel, whoever designed that, needs to be slapped. That is the biggest...
Punched in the balls.
That is the biggest over-engineered piece of crap I have ever transformed in my life.
That killed... I've got that set on the back of a shelf, and I haven't touched it in years.
I finished it, and the Diesel was the last piece that I got. It was the last piece that I got. I loved the set until I got Diesel, and I'm like, I will never transform this again, and sold it.
Yeah, Diesel for me is the Digimon 02 epilogue. It killed my love of that Fans Project sets.
How you are with wrestling is how I am with Digimon. I don't know what you're talking about.
Trust me, everyone knows.
But Don, what do you think is the one thing going forward from animated that that animated changed on the face of Transformers
history? I think personally that the one thing it changed but hasn't actually been grasped as well since then is how important human characters, both good and bad, can work within a Transformers story to enhance it and not be just, with all due respect, be your Spike or your Carlos or your Rad or Alexis, and not just there to have a kid audience identification character, but they can be involved with the plot, be important to the plot, have arcs, and have growth. The downside is, again, coming off of animated going into Prime, we had stronger kids with Jack, Miko, and Ralph. Well, I think we not as strong as Sari in some cases, but maybe if there had only been two of the three, they could have gotten more more story, more growth.
I agree with Carrie. She just commented on the live chat that Bulkhead was popularized by Prime. I think Bulkhead became popular in animated, but I think he became a star in Transformers Prime.
Bulkhead.
Well, let me finish. Okay. Let me finish. So, and then unfortunately, with Robots in Disguise 2.0, you've got some of the stupidest humans in this show. Not the two main, not the father son combo, but just the rest of the population of Earth are absolute morons. And it's just a way, it's just a step back. It's just a way to avoid having any depth in your story. If all your humans believe every single excuse that comes out of your mouth, no matter how flimsy it is, just as part to make it easier to tell the story.
Maybe this is just the old man in me, but I really wish that the Combiner Wars and Titan Returns and everything had been the line that got the animated series, and RID 2.0 was the one that got the comics treatment. Yeah. Because I think, honestly, the Combiner Wars and Titan Returns and everything, while it's a great comic, I'm sure, I think it would have made a more phenomenal cartoon show. Can you imagine a show that we would have had if we had those characters? I mean, we have the Combiner Wars cartoon, but I mean, it was so short and underdone. It was underdone.
So that's my take is you saw how important humans can be to a Transformer story without being detrimental. So I think that's one of the most important things we took away from that.
So there's before we wrap things up, there's a couple things I need to talk about. When we started developing Prime, it was always Ironhide. Ironhide was going to be in the show. It was Ironhide from the start. It was going to be a truck. He was going to be two-tone, red on top, black on the bottom. He was going to have the arm cannons. And then this came down from senior management and marketing, and somehow they conspired together to form the perfect idiotic mess. Fucking people.
Tales from the Hasbro back office.
They came to us and said, you can't put Ironhide in the show. Well, we're developing the show. What are you talking about? And they said, well, he dies in the movie, so it's going to be confusing for kids. I remember Prime was in development before movie 3 came out.
Prime died in G1. It didn't confuse people then.
Yeah, but he dies all the time, so I mean, that's a different type of confusing. So they say, well, he dies in the movie. Well, so does Megatron in every movie, but this is not a show based off the movie. And a lot of people didn't understand that. They thought it was a movie show, and we had just changed it enough so we didn't have to pay the royalties. Like, no, this is a show. This is a new show. It has nothing to do with the movies. The movies is its own continuity. It has to be its own continuity for legal reasons. We're making a new show. And they're like, you can't put Ironhide in it. You can't do it. Well, from that point on, I said, it's going to be Bulkhead. And Aaron looked over and he said, yeah, it's going to be Bulkhead. And that's how Bulkhead got in the show. It was without even thinking. That was the
go-to guy
in line. That was the next guy in line.
And it turned out to work so phenomenally well, too.
Perfect. It was perfect. And he had the mace hand from that wrecking ball hand.
Kevin Michael Richardson did a phenomenal job voicing him, too.
Yeah. He had a great, probably my favorite Autobot in that show in Transformers Prime. So that's how Bulkhead got in that show. But I want to make a point. You know, fiction goes a long way. And Beast Wars was such a great show. Say what you will about it. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people love the toys, hate the show, vice versa. Beast Wars is a perfect example of how you can make a show that appeals to both kids and adults that takes place within the Transformers universe. Transformers Animated is the perfect storm, because Transformers Animated did something which no other show has done before and no other show has done since, and I doubt any other Transformers show will ever do again. Transformers Animated, the toy line corresponded to the fiction. And what I mean by that is that there are no animated toys of characters who are not in the show. If you are in the show, then you're going to be made into a toy. Didn't happen for everyone, but the intention was there. There are no characters that existed in toy form that are not in the show. And that, to me, is a perfect storm. Because despite Beast Wars being a great show, you had a million other characters who weren't in the show. And they're just
G1 was the same way.
G1's the same way, mm-hmm. Right? And then we thought we could do it better with Prime. Because, we're going to throw all this money at it. It's going to be the flagship show of the hub. This is it. We got our own studio making it. And then it came down to, well, boys don't really like female characters, so we're not going to make Arachnia. So that was a whole battle. And you can go back and listen to old episodes of how that figure came about. But what I'm trying to say is, you had such a great show like Prime, and you had such a huge monetary investment into that show, yet you chose not to make the characters from that show. You didn't bring over Breakdown. You didn't make the Voyager Arachnia that had spider legs. Okay, fine. We got a deluxe one. Okay, fine. Whatever. I'll give you
a pass. Sucked.
But you didn't even have a deluxe Insecticon. Not one. We talked about a Voyager Insecticon, and we were going to do the different heads, the Scarface one and the non-Scarface one. And then you had the total breakdown of design theory between the creators of the show and the creators of the toys. Because by the time Beast Hunters came around, which was forced onto the show had said, we're going to design what we're going to design. And the toy, and I'm very glad to hear that that design director is no longer on the brand. He said, we're going to make. And if the two kind of look similar, great. If they don't, they don't. Which is why you have the Optimus Prime Beast Hunter look the way he does on the show, and how you have the Optimus Prime Beast Hunter toy look the way it does, and why you have Predaking look the way he does in toy, and why he looks the way he does in the show, and why you have that Sharktacon Megatron and that Unicron Megatron in the show. Because at that point, it was just broken. The system was broken. And animated, to me, is that shining beacon of what can be. It is possible to create a show that is toy-centric, character-driven, appeals to adults, appeals to kids, with intuitive transformation.
You know, Rick, you mentioned that animated was the perfect storm. And, you know, to kind of make this podcast episode full circle, Benjamin Yoon, listening on the YouTube channel, he pointed out that Mark Wahlberg was in the movie Part of the Perfect Storm. So Mark Wahlberg is going to be at HasCon. The animated was the perfect storm. There you have full circle on TFYLP.
And Mark Wahlberg was in Boogie Nights, where he sang, "You've Got the Touch."
Yes, that is true. A movie about You Got the Touch is in a movie about porn.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I want to give a quick shout out to IDWA. IDWA makes IDW. They make great comic books, and I'm a big fan. And I love the Hasbro universe in the comics, because Mask, G.I. Joe, ROM, Transformers, Micronauts, they're all in the same universe in the comics, finally. And they're sticking to that. Everything that happens in this comic, it affects what happens in those other books, whether you read them or not. But in G.I. Joe, Skywarp is a part of the Joe team. And I just...
What?
You know what? It's... Skywarp is a part of the G.I. Joes. And issue 8 of G.I. Joe, you have Skywarp and his partner Rock and Roll on a suicide mission. And it is just... It's been a long time since I read a comic and said, wow, this was a great comic. It's written by Aubrey Sitterson. It's got some great art by David Lafuente and Giannis Milano de Giannis.
Easy for you to say.
But you know what? All your dreams come true. Skywarp's on the Joe team. It's a great fit. It makes perfect sense. Read this book. Thundercracker is on the EDC, Earth Defense Corps, and he's a screenwriter. And it makes perfect sense.
I heard about that.
He's my favorite character because of how they write him. Yeah. So check it out. And then you got Mask. Which is still Mobile Armored Strike Command, which is, you know, they make a joke in the book.
I still haven't read it yet.
Yeah, they make a joke in the book. Why is Command spelled with a K? And he's like, we'll get into that later. And they never get back to it. Like, it's a reoccurring thing. But, you know, Don, I told you during our reinvention of Mask, while I was there, it was Mechanically Advanced Secret Knights. And then there was a precursor to that we worked on called Magically Advanced Secret Knights. And they would become the Mechanically Advanced Secret Knights. And T-Bob, a piece of the AllSpark or Matrix or whatever, landed in a junkyard. And it landed in an old TV. And the TV eventually sprouted arms and legs and became like a proto-T-Bob. And one of the guys looks at it and says, that tube box is talking. And then from tube box, they derived the name T-Bob. So... Another thing that will never come to be, but You know, Miles Mayhem, his real name is Miles Mannheim. They retcon it so that he was on the adventure team with Bullet Man and Joe Colton. And it's just incredibly awesome how they've connected all these different universes. And I applaud them. Idwa, go check them out.
How many issues of Mask are there out right now?
Issue 9 just came out this week.
I got issue 1 and I still haven't read it yet. Damn.
Yeah. Issue 1's kind of boring, but it picks up. But G.I. Joe, they put the crown jewel of the Hasbro universe. You know, you could say Transformers is a crown jewel, but without G.I. Joe, there'd be no Transformers. Read this book.
Interesting. You know, I think we've kind of run its course tonight. I want to remind everybody that if you love TFYLP, check out our patreon.com/TFYLP. If you want to, you can help us each month. It helps us upgrade and helps keep the lights on around the great world of TFYLP here. And we thank everybody who continues to support us each and every month from the bottom of our heart. And on that related note, I mentioned a little bit about it on Twitter yesterday. I want to, before we go off air tonight, we're not going to do this tonight because simply don't have time, but I do want to put it out there for everyone who is a TFYLP supporter on our Patreon page. I know Carrie mentioned that she's very much interested in this, and I thank you for your input on that. And I want everybody else's input if possible. If you are interested for a Patreon exclusive, if you're a Patreon supporter, once a month, after we go off live, like for example tonight, if we after we go off of our live show, a few minutes later, you join the cast with us on Skype, and we record a short episode about a topic that you, the Patreon supporter of TFYLP, pick, and you are a guest on our show.
Can the topic be Game of Thrones, or do they have to pick something Transformers?
It has to be Transformers related. Because we are a Transformers podcast.
I want to talk about the GOT. I want to talk about the GOT. And then Dom will also come to your house, and he will autograph your Supreme Cheetor as well.
You know, those things are harder to come by than we originally thought.
because we thought it would be find a really nice one in a box. I would sign it. And apparently everybody decided to like, no,
my we Supreme have made Cheetor Supreme Cheetors wantable again.
Apparently so.
It's like nobody wants to part with them for less than $100.
And hey, one last plug. In the next week or so, I'll be launching a Facebook page chronicling my arduous journey of building my collection room. You've heard me speak about my collection room on past shows. It's gotten to the point where I've built the Facebook page. I've uploaded pictures of everything that I've done so far. It's still going to be a year away.
Benjamin Yoon gave me a great idea. He just commented on a YouTube chat here. Rick, why don't you do this? Have it as a subsection on TFYLP. Write a brief story each week, and the story is Game of Transformers.
Game of Transformers.
Yeah, it has Transformers slash fiction. It has Transformers death. You know, there's a new character that dies each month or each week. You know, and
so Simon Furman's writing it then, right?
Yeah, you know what? That would be awesome. Game of Transformers. But seriously though, you know, if you would love to,
I guess that's why it's called the Iron Throne then, huh?
Yeah. And it's made out of iron hide.
That's right. The Iron Throne is just Ironhide's corpse propped up as a chair.
The ideas are swirling. But back to the Patreon thing, you know, we'd love to have, Patreon-specific perks for our Patreon supporters. You know, again, without you guys, we could not be here each month. And, you know, this is a little way for us to give back to you specifically as a Patreon. You know, and if you're very interested in this, please let us know, whether it be via Patreon or on our Facebook page or via Twitter, however you follow us and communicate with us. If you're a Patreon supporter, let us know how you feel about this. You know, and we'd love to give it a go. I have some other ideas that I'm in the process of actually implementing to have Patreon exclusive content from TFYLP. It will be the idea. The main idea that I have is video content that you will not find here on our YouTube channel. You will not find on our website, but you will find if you're a paid supporter of our TFYLP Patreon. And it's just a further thank you to you guys who help us each month. And we're still working on that. I'm in the beginning stages of that. I've contacted several people already. Look for something from that probably, I want to say, at least within the next month. And that will be Patreon exclusive content. But with that being said, check out our sponsors again. They're over there on the screen on to my right. On the screen is to my left, I guess. Anyway, it's over there. check it out. Check out our sponsors. And Don, you have any closing thoughts, Rick?
No, just if you've never tried animated, please give it a look. Especially now, and I don't know how easy it'll be to get, but TF Nation did do that graphic novel based on information from the AllSpark Almanacs, and I believe input from Mr. Klein himself. So there is something of a conclusion to the series now. From what I understand, I have not seen it. I don't know anything more than it exists. But there is a wrap-up of sorts out there. So, you know, if you've never tried animated, please, you know, check out the DVDs. You know, find it, you know, wherever you watch your videos at. And eventually, I'm sure the information will get out from the publication. So at least you'll have a sense of closure on what happens. But even if you don't, you know, want to go back and track down the toys, give it a try. You might be pleasantly surprised.
Absolutely. What about you, Rick? Any closing thoughts that are not Game of Thrones related? Cut you off at the pass. I cut you off at the wall. You can't climb the wall.
You know, I love Ridley Scott, but Alien Covenant, man, I'm not feeling it.
I loved it. I loved it. I watched it last weekend.
Man, I just loved
it
last weekend.
It was not as great as Prometheus. I love Prometheus more. I wish they had went with the creators' storyline a little bit more. I wanted to see more of that mythos.
You realize we'll never get any of the questions left open from Prometheus answered now. Like that pisses me off.
Yeah,
just makes me mad.
Yeah.
Anyway. Animated, it was great. I absolutely mean every word I say when I say it is a shining star of what can be, of what is possible, of what was, and will probably never come to be again.
You know, I'm just hopping on the live chat here that, you know, talking about animated has got me wanting to go back in there and plop in some animated DVDs and watch them. I've got a few Transformers that I've unopened right now, and you know, it'd be a good chance.
Unopen them? That means you put them back in the box and sealed them up again?
No, I have not opened.
You have. They're unopened. Okay.
Yeah, they're unopened. I have not opened them yet.
I heard that differently. Yeah. That, like, in my head somehow.
It just came.
Twist ties back
my,
on.
In my weird brain, it just, tonight words are not flowing out of my brain the way that they form in my brain, and then they turn around a little bit, and then they come out totally not the way I expected them to or intended them to. But
it's how I heard it.
Anyway, it'd be a good opportunity to sit and open toys and watch a great Transformers series.
And season 3 is out there finally of animated for you guys to get. It's out there. It's like $10.
Absolutely. Let's see here. One more thing, a programming note before we go off live. Next week I will be at a Transformers meetup on Saturday. I'm not exactly
not HasCon.
Sure. No, it will not be HasCon. It will be a local Transformers meetup. So any chance that we get an opportunity in our communities to get together with fellow Transformer fans, talk about great toys. You know, I was lucky to get Voyager Scorn the other day, which he's one of the few movie designs that I absolutely love. I wish they'd stayed away from the rubbery bits, but he's actually a great toy. You know, anytime you get a chance to get together with fellow Transformer fans and talk about toys, play games, eat lots of junk food, you know, you've got to do it. And that's what I'm going to be doing next week. So I'm not exactly sure if I will be home in time to do the show. If at all possible, we're going to try to do a pre-record so there will be a show next week. But if there is not, I'll apologize ahead of time, and we will get one to you as soon as possible. But if we don't go live next week, that is why. So I want to thank everybody for joining us this week. We've kind of drug this one out a little bit longer than I expected, but I think there's been some great topics that we've discussed here. If you are going to HasCon next weekend, please let us know how it is. If you want to share pictures on our Facebook group, videos, and your thoughts, please do. I'd love to hear attendee's perspective on what's going on. I know yes. I know our own Daniel is going to be there. You said Brian's going to be there from RFC. You know, so several people we know is going to be there. And I'm sure they're going to put their two cents in, but I'd love to hear other people's thoughts, too, that are actually attending the show. I'm interested in hearing that.
And if you're going, travel safe, be careful, bathe, and remember to
reiterate that, bathe, yeah.
I still think it's a good idea to have a bar of soap with, like, a mini-con or a Cyber Planet chip on the inside of it for people to use.
Give them incentive to use it.
Yeah, give them something to use the soap. And again, our thoughts are with those people in Texas and Louisiana.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Not just with them, but with their pets as well.
Yeah.
So.
All right. We will see you next time on TFYOP. Thank you for joining us this week. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.